work. That's the title of our message that God is going to be speaking to our hearts this morning. And these are the verses that we have at the head of our notes. These are our Bible quotes for today, taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24. And these verses come from the record of what was happening just after Jesus had been crucified. Remember, our series is the cross of Jesus. So Jesus has been crucified. He has been buried in a tomb, and a huge stone was rolled in front of the entrance to that tomb so that no one could go in and steal his body and then claim that Jesus had been raised from the dead. You know, sometimes the efforts that we as people go through to try and explain God or trying to prove that God doesn't exist or can't do something, they're so futile. And here were these people afraid that the disciples would go and steal the body of Jesus, so they got this huge stone. And the Bible tells us that after Jesus had been in that tomb for 3 days, that there was an earthquake. Mark and Sano know a little bit about earthquakes. But there was an earthquake, and it seems that what caused this earthquake was an angel. An angel that came, and as a result, that stone was rolled away. And so some of the women that had been following Jesus, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and also Joanna, they had been preparing spices. You can read about this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spices and preservatives for the body of Jesus. And they had done nothing on the Sabbath because the Old Testament law prevented them from doing this. So very early in the morning of the first day of the week, their plan was to go to the tomb and to further embalm the body of Jesus to make it last a bit longer. And it says that when they got there, they saw that the stone was rolled away. And if you put all the accounts of the four Gospels together, you get the full picture, and you see that they saw the angel or the angels. And it says, then as they, the women, were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, and then they, the angels, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here," speaking about Jesus, "for he is risen." And I want us just to dwell on that, those verses just a moment, and particularly this phrase, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" You see, Jesus had told his followers that he would raise from the dead after 3 days. But they couldn't comprehend it. And so in their pursuit, in their desire to find Jesus, they had gone to this tomb, this place of death. And they were looking for Jesus, but he was not there because he had risen from the dead. My friends, sometimes as Christians, we can be guilty of looking for life where there's only death. In other words, we can seek to find life from the things within this natural world, which only have the potential to provide mortal, temporal things. And as Christians, the place that we seek for our life must be the source of life. We will never find life when we seek for it amongst that which is dead. That which is temporal. That which has no eternal life. And those ladies that morning learnt an incredible lesson that they and we do well never to forget. Not only had Jesus been raised from the dead, but that place of death was not where he would be found. He was no longer there because God had raised him from the dead. Sometimes we may search in the natural things of this world for that which is supernatural, for that which is heavenly. And my friends, let this be something which we settle in our hearts. We will never find it. The things that this world offers and this world produces, the very best that they can do is provide us with momentary entertainment or happiness. But they will never provide us with true and eternal life. They cannot. It is not possible. And it was not possible for Jesus to stay in the grave because the power of God raised him from the dead. And today we want to look at that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us start with our first point today. There is no gospel message without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to read you some verses from 1 Corinthians. And here Paul says, "Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel. I want to make it clear what the gospel is that I declared to you, the one that you received and have taken your stand on. Let's be clear about it. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaimed to you, unless you believed for no purpose. Now listen, for I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus is not just that Jesus died for our sins. Now, we have learned this over these past few weeks, that Jesus paid the debt of our sin. His blood, the Bible tells us, redeemed us back to God, paid the debt for our sins. We have also learned or rediscovered that along with Christ on that cross at Calvary, our sinful nature was crucified. Remember, we have said over again, it's something that has already happened. Our sins have been paid for. Our sinful nature was crucified with Christ. But the gospel is not only about Jesus dying for our sin and our old sinful nature being crucified with him. The gospel, as Paul is preaching it, includes the fact that Jesus was buried. And as Christians, the gospel to us includes a burial. Did you realize that? Did you realize that as Christians, we are required not only to know that our old sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, but that we with Christ must join in his burial into death? That's why we baptize Christians. Not only do we recognize that the old sinful nature was crucified with Christ, but at that first opportunity, we want to join together in faith with everyone who believes that truth and bury that old nature, immerse it fully into death as we baptize people into Christ. That's why we say, if you haven't been baptized by full immersion, then you need to be. Because we need to join with Christ, not only in his death, but in his burial, so that we can also join with him in his resurrection. You know, we may as Christians sometimes feel disappointed because we read our Bibles, which is good. We get into conversation with God, which is great. We hear and we read the promises that we see God gives to those who are his children. And sometimes we may feel that we come up short. We don't experience those things that God says are ours because we are his children. Can I share something with you which I believe is so, so important? You know, I believe that one of the things that we must understand and we must believe in our hearts is that we cannot experience the resurrection life of Jesus unless we have first experienced death and burial. When you stop and you think about it, it's really quite simple. Jesus, as a man, died on that cross at Calvary. His human body was buried in that grave. And those things had to happen before he could be resurrected into a new life, an eternal life, as a man. The same is just as true for us. If we try to experience those promises of God that are relative to eternal life, whilst at the same time believing or holding on to our old sinful nature, we never will experience those great promises of God. Equally, if we cannot say that we know our old sinful nature was crucified with Christ, neither can we say, I have been resurrected into newness and eternal life. It's just not possible. And so this is the gospel that we joyfully and boldly preach, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, but was raised from the dead by the power of God. Why is that so important? Because it must be our experience too. That is what a Christian is. One who knows that their old sinful nature was crucified with Christ. They have been joined with Christ, immersed into Christ through burial in baptism. And they have been raised into new and eternal life. That is the gospel. And that, my friend, is one of those key truths that we lay hold of in order that we may know and experience the true and eternal life of Jesus living in us. It is no longer I who lives, but who? Christ lives in me. I, as a Christian, I am not asking God to make me more and more like Jesus. I am not asking God to make me a better and better person. As a Christian, I know that something like 49 years ago, I acknowledged that my old sinful nature had been crucified with Christ. Some years after that, I was baptized and immersed into Christ in baptism. And from that moment, I know that I have the gift of eternal life. I'm not trying to improve that old nature. I know it's dead. It's buried. It no longer exists. My friends, this is the simple gospel message. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel message. Praise God. We could go to all the famous landmarks in the Holy Land, but we'll never find the remains of Jesus. You'll never find the corpse of a man called Jesus of Nazareth. Because as a man, the power of God raised him from dead to newness of life. And he never ever will die again. He lives forever. If you're in the habit of shouting amen or praise the Lord or glory to God or whatever, that's a good time to do it. Because since Christ has died and has been buried but has been raised from the dead, so too we can know that same eternal life, that same resurrection life. You see, the work that Jesus did is completed. Now, I want to talk now about resurrection authority. Later, we're going to be talking about resurrection power. And I want you to stop before we go into these 2 points. I want you to stop and just think a little bit. I don't know if you've read the book of Acts of the Apostles recently. If you haven't, can I recommend that you do that after today? Read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And as you do, realize that the things that those early Christians did, they did because they had a revelation of the resurrected Jesus Christ. That they knew that even though he had been crucified and buried, they knew because they saw him, many of them. They saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. They knew that he had been raised from the dead. Now we can read those things and we can think, well, it was okay for them because they saw Jesus. But my friends, we have been gifted by God with a heart that has the ability to believe even though we haven't seen the things that these people saw. And that is all it takes for you and I today in 2016 to be able to see the same resurrection authority and the same resurrection power of Jesus living in and through us as those men and women in the book of Acts did. The same. And let me say this. We may think as a world we have advanced in the last 2,000 years. But if anything, we've gone backwards in terms of spirituality. This world is as sinful as it ever has been, and it is in a position of desperate need for the church of Jesus to live daily, not according to self, not so wrapped up in our self needs and self wants, but to recognize that we have a mission, which is to bring the kingdom of God into this earth, that people around us may have an opportunity to know who Jesus really is. That's why we're still here on planet Earth. So let's talk about resurrection authority. We're going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3, chapter 4. On this particular occasion, Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. And they came across a man who was sick, real sick. He was unable to walk. He was lame. And he was begging. He was unable to work, unable to earn. And so the only way that he could for himself provide income was to beg. And Peter and John are on their way to a prayer meeting. And they see this man begging. And he's asking for them to give him some money. And Peter looks at him and says, I don't have money to give you. Now don't go thinking that Peter was broke or that he was poor. And so then, therefore, every Christian should be poor. Don't go basing some kind of philosophy on this. Maybe he forgot his wallet. Yeah? Maybe he just didn't have anything with him on that occasion. So don't go thinking, you know, all Christians should be poor. Okay? But this is what Peter said. I don't have silver and gold. I don't have it on me. Listen, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. If Peter had got cash on him, what did they have then? Shekels, was it? I don't know what the currency was. It wasn't won or pounds. Whatever the currency was, doesn't matter. If Peter had got money on him, and if he were to give it to this begging, lame man, sure, he would have had some money that he could have somehow taken home with him or to the market and bought some groceries, but he would have remained lame. Sick. But there was something that Peter and John had that had far more power than finances. Peter says, I don't have silver and gold on me, but you can have what I've got. You can have it. Whatever I've got, it's yours. You see, Peter had a revelation of this resurrection life that he had been given by God through Jesus. He had a revelation of it. It wasn't just a theory. He hadn't gone to evangelism school, and I'm not being disrespectful to those, but he hadn't gone to evangelism school and learned how to give a 3-point gospel presentation, how to always carry with him a card so that he could take the person's name down and leave them with a prayer card. No. That isn't what Peter had to give away. Peter had resurrection life. He had eternal life. And he understood what that life meant. That life did not just mean that he could preach the gospel and a person would get saved. But that resurrection life, as we prayed with Brother Mark earlier today, when the Spirit of God lives within us, it brings life to every part of our being. It transforms us. If our minds are sick, that life of God will bring soundness to our minds. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I've seen it, and because the Bible has many cases when those people who had mind issues, some were even possessed by evil spirits, Jesus dealt with them, and the Bible says they had sound minds. And you may say, are you sure about this? Absolutely. Absolutely. The resurrection life of Christ living within a believer is the same life that he has. The same. Not a diluted version. It's not eternal life version 10.1.23. It's the original. It's it. It's the real thing. And that life has the power and the ability to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out evil spirits, bring soundness to people's minds. So, why is it happening for Peter and John? And why are we not seeing it today? It's a good question. It's a really good question. And if we're bold enough to answer it, we must be bold enough to face up to some of the realities of the real answer. You see, nothing has changed about God. Nothing. God hasn't lost any of his power or ability or authority. Nothing has changed about sin. Sin hasn't become immune to the power of God. Some of the sicknesses and diseases that man have, they morph. That's the abbreviated word because I can't say the long word. Metamorphosize. How's that? They build up immunity to the drugs that we've produced. And we have these super bugs. Yeah? That there is at the moment, there's no cure for there. And so we work hard, we try to find another chemical or medicine that will kill that super bug. And whilst that's happening, this super bug is becoming immune already to what we're trying to produce to kill it. And that's how it goes. But sin is not growing immune to the power of God. You need to believe that, my friends. And the consequence of sin is not gaining in power. It's not true. Let me read you these verses. I've got to hurry. Let me read you these verses. Because Peter and John, that they were not very popular for what they did. Because it was on the Sabbath. And some religious people got a little upset with them. Sadly. And so they're being interrogated, basically, and being asked why did they think they could do it and how were they doing it. And Peter, I'm now in Acts chapter 4, Peter, filled with himself, filled with self-confidence, filled with... Does it say that? I hope not. No. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Not himself. Not his own ability. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we were being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, who you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, that's who we're believing in. That's the reason this has happened. By him, this man is standing here before you healthy. You see, Peter and John had a revelation of the resurrection, life, and authority that was living in them. Not their own authority, the authority of the name of Jesus. And that name carries authority over sickness because Christ was raised from the dead. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, if the man Jesus had remained dead, his name would carry no authority over any sickness, because death is the ultimate of what sin will produce. And so if Christ had been held by death, his name would have no power, no authority. And sometimes when we're praying, we'll finish our prayers in the name of Jesus. Do you ever do that? Nothing wrong in that, but I wonder if you know what you're saying. Is it just a little phrase we use at the end because that's what we were taught, in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus? Is it some kind of, you know, lucky ending? Or if I say Jesus' name, then my prayer will work. I don't think we believe that at all. It's not true. What it basically, if we mean what we say, what it means is this. What I'm asking God for, I know he will give it to me. I know his will. And I can ask it because Christ has been raised from the dead. He has overcome the ultimate power of sin. It's been broken. And therefore, in the authority of his resurrected name, that's what I'm praying. Now, you may be a little bit more careful from now on where you use in Jesus' name. Because that's what it means. That's what Peter and John basically were saying. Lameness, sickness, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Because they believed in the resurrection authority of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not just something we banter around, we kind of threaten sicknesses with, you know, in Jesus' name I command you. No, we say it because we believe in the authority that that name now has, because Christ has died, was buried, but has been raised to life. Hallelujah. Can you see how important it is that we know what God's will is? Like I said earlier, start prayer by listening. Sure, say to God, God, I'm coming to you to talk about this situation. I want to know your will. And listen, because when you have God's word on it, you can say, I'm asking for this, believing with every part of my being that I have received it in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. The resurrection authority of the name of Jesus. Last point, the resurrection power. These verses are from Ephesians chapter 1. If you've done growth track, you will be familiar with them. If you haven't, can I suggest that you sign up for growth track? Such powerful life-giving truths that when they take a hold of our hearts, They have the power to transform our life. Just talk to people who have completed Growth Track and the effect that those truths have on them. Ephesians chapter 1, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith, this is Paul writing, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You have that spirit. You have that spirit dwelling in you, my friends. The one who gives you the wisdom of God and the revelation of God. He reveals to you the word and the truth of God. He reveals the knowledge of God to you. Amen? So that the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, be enlightened, that you may know. You see, Paul wants these Christians to know some things. Here they are. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That you may know what is the exceeding greatness, the incomparably great power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Well, that's a mouthful. And that's why we've got these notes typed out, so that you can take them home and you can read them and reread them, and let the Spirit of God reveal the truth to him. But what he's talking about to these early Christians, he's saying, I want you to know about the power of God that is in you. And I want you to know it by the Spirit of God. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Stop and think. We talked about this in Growth Track last week. This is mind-boggling. So don't try and understand it with your mind, because a mind that's boggling is not pretty. Believe it with your heart, because that's the part of you that can. The same power of God that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God, listen, far above all principalities and all powers and all rulers and all other names, not only in this age, but that which is to come. That power, that's what we're talking about. That power which Christ has since he was raised from the dead. It's in you. I said to the folk in Growth Track last week, I never pray like this anymore. Lord, would you strengthen me? I don't want myself strengthened. I don't need myself strengthened. I just say, thank you, God, that within me dwells your strength and your power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work, resides in every true believer. That resurrection power. Sometimes we hear these things, I'm closing now, sometimes we hear these things and we think, oh, if only I could hold on to that truth. If only that truth would would manifest itself, would become real in me. But you know what, Pastor? What is more real are life's circumstances. What is more real are the problems that I face, the challenges that I go through, and sometimes feel like I don't go through but get stuck in them. What I've found, my friends, is as long as I dwell on those problems and challenges, it's as though I give them life. As long as I focus on them, as long as I meditate on them, as long as they are alive in me, they grow. But whenever I meditate on the Word of God, those things are put into perspective. Because I come to know, as I am reminded by the Spirit of God living in me, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within me, the Spirit of God. So Peter and John walk up to this lame man, and Peter says, I don't have any money with me, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. And he took him by the right hand, Johan. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up. And the Bible says that immediately his ankles and his feet were made strong. And if you read on that story, you don't find that he kind of went like this. Do you know what he did? He leapt and jumped and praised God. It's the resurrection authority and the resurrection power. Not ours, but the power of God. As the resurrected Christ, the man, Jesus Christ, who now sits on that throne, seated. That place of authority. Seated far above all rule, all principality, all power, and every other name. And he places within the heart of every one of us that same resurrection power. My friend, there is nothing in this life, there's nothing in this world that has anything that even comes close to the power of God. The power of God is in a league of its own. It's incomparable. There's nothing that we face. There's nothing that we go through. There's nothing that any force of evil can throw at us or try to tempt us with that the power of God will not lead us into victory over. Nothing. And I pray that through this coming week, and indeed for the rest of our lives, this revelation of the completed work of Jesus, the resurrection power, the resurrection authority, that the fullness of the gospel of Jesus will manifest itself in our lives. You see, the enemy will come to you. He's a deceiver and he's a liar. And he will say that what you're going through, what you're experiencing, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a relational issue, no matter what it is, his desire is to convince you that you have to bear it. And he will even say to you, that's your cross to bear. But if you were here last week, you'll know that that's an abuse of that scripture. Who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the Word of God? Are we going to believe the power that God has given to us to lay hold of that resurrection life and believe it and live in it and therefore glorify our God? The alternative is that we believe the lies and the deception of the evil one And we think it's our lot. We think it's just fate. It's just coincidence that I'm suffering in this way. Jesus was crucified. He was buried. But praise God, God has raised him from the dead. And he is seated in that place of authority. And he gives to us resurrection authority and resurrection power. Why? To glorify him. Amen. Let's pray.